It's interesting. I have known since December. Jeff is real good about putting it way long out. So first part of December is when I saw that I was on the schedule. And so it's been a while. And there's been a lot of things, him going up and down and what to do. Last night I came down here. This building, I told a few people, this building is alive at night. This building is alive when people aren't here. And so I came down about 6:30. Nobody was here. Turned on IHOP, sat at that table. Had a couple of these lights on and one back there, so at least I could see. And this building was creaking and moaning and groaning. But in the midst of that, you see things and you hear things. It is so nice being with zero distractions. But I really feel, even when we're not here, the Spirit is here. I mean, I was talking to Tracy last night as well, and she says, you see things. You see little flashes. Where'd that come from? What is going on? I saw a couple shadows of white, not black. So I knew it's like, whoo, that's kind of cool. This building is really protected, even when we're not here. The Spirit is here. One of the things we've been real fortunate, and this is a bunny trail. I'm going to have a few of them tonight. Sorry, today. I knew I was going to do that. Anyway, one of the things that we have been very fortunate as a body is we haven't had a whole lot of stuff stolen. This building is pretty easy to get into sometimes. There was one time when Ryan had all his gear stolen. He got none of it back. We helped him get, buy some more and insurance and such. A year later, it all showed up back here, including his rubber duckies that were stolen. It was amazing. And I don't know if anybody knows where it came from. It might have. Maybe somebody came forward and said, I borrowed it and forgot. I don't know. All that to say, this building is alive, and the Spirit and Holy Spirit just watches over it and really protects it. And that's really awesome. So back into December, when Jeff said, hey, you're going to be teaching, pretty immediately, I kind of knew where he wanted me to go, which is really odd because a lot of times I don't know right away. But the word kingdom has been coming up in my mind a lot. And so he wanted me to talk on kingdom. Oh, this is so cool. Because it is cool. Because I'm learning more and more about, thank you. I'm learning more and more about the king and serving the king and what kind of authority that gives me, what kind of authority that gives all of us. And so as I was kind of going through things, there was a lot of confirmation that I thought. People were sending me emails and Facebook stuff, and it just kept coming up, this kingdom stuff. So I knew I was aligned, felt I was aligned with where he wanted me to go. December 28th, Jeff did a teaching on aligning yourself with God. I thought, well, that's cool, God's will. I thought, well, that is really cool, because this is exactly what I'm doing. He used a scripture, and I don't have PowerPoint. I don't have any neat, cool videos like Chris did a few weeks ago. Just a pretty picture of a lake down in Sisters, Oregon. That's all. But the scriptures, if you want to go to it, that Jeff used on December 28th was Isaiah 6, 1 through 9. And I'm reading this out of the message. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Master sitting on a throne, high exalted. And the train of his robes filled the temple. Angel seraphs hovered above him, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew. And they called back and forth one to the other, holy, holy, holy is God of the angel of armies. His bright glory fills the earth. The foundations trembled at the sound of angel voices. And when the whole house filled with smoke, I said, doom, it's doomsday. I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted, blasphemous even. And the people I live with talk the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate. and here I look God in the face, the King, God of the angels' army. Then one of the angel seraphs flew to me. He held a live coal taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, look, this coal has touched your lips, gone your guilt, your sins wiped down. Then I heard the voice of the Master, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? I spoke up. I'll go, send me, he said. Go and tell his people. At that point, when that coal touched his lips, Isaiah became aligned with what God wanted. He knew immediately that he needed to go. He needed to be the one. We needed to be aligned with God. We need to know when we're in our everyday life that we are aligned with him, where he's going. We've talked about the plumb line. We've talked about all this stuff. So God's pretty darn cool. He's, as I was going through a lot of this stuff and trying to study and trying to see what I wanted to go in the direction I wanted to go, he started saying, listen to me. Again, it's that voice, the voice thing, which is awesome. If you haven't heard the Lord's voice in a while, you have to listen to it. It is so great when Jeff said, just listen, and sat here for a little bit and just listen. If you've never heard the Lord's voice, we should probably pray for you because you have to hear it. We're going to need it. We are going to need it so much. A few weeks ago, Jody even spoke up here. She came up and started talking about the voice of God. This is one way he's going to tell you that you are aligned with where he is taking you. You are part of this body, so he is taking us. You're part of it. We're all going that direction. So you have to know. You have to know real quick that this is his voice. For me, I've been hearing his voice a lot. It's kind of jibber-jabber. I mean, just on and on and on and on and on. And it's difficult. We all work. We all have jobs. How can we sit here? I would love to be in here sometimes, just like last night. No distractions. Just getting in a place of hearing his voice. Wonder what that would be like. I know some people have done that, where they've spent time. There's been silent retreats, and some of you people have gone on silent retreats. And you just sit and listen to the voice in silence. But the Lord gave me a word for me personally is posture. Every day I have to be in a posture to hear his voice and do what he says. Because he's talking to us always. Always, always, always. So if you're a nurse or a doctor or something and you're about ready to give a shot, if the Lord says don't, you should probably don't. You're in a posture. You are aligned with what he's saying because he's always talking to you. And he's the one that's watching them. So this posture thing, I've been kind of in that. And sometimes you get so enamored. I do. So when I say you, I'm usually meaning me. You get so enamored, you all of a sudden just get sucked into what he's doing. I drive for a living. I drive all over the place. And sometimes it's really difficult hearing God and wanting to spend time with him because I'm driving. It's not the most safest time to enter into him and listen to everything he has to say. It really isn't. There's been times when one of my drives is quite long. From Longview, and my first stop is in Staten, Oregon. So it's an hour and a half away, and it's all freeway driving. But there's been times when I'll get on the freeway, and all of a sudden, start talking. And I can't remember driving from Kalama to Salem. And I have no clue why. It's dangerous. I mean, I feel bad for the other people around, but it can be real dangerous. So I have to know that when I'm in that posture, when he is downloading stuff, when he is wanting to talk to me, that he is going to watch over me. He is going to protect me. And so that's really, really good. You also have to know, I'm taking a bunny trail. This isn't really where I'm going, but you have to know his voice. And we've taught and you've heard how he speaks. To me, he speaks like me. That's how I understand. I like humor. I like sarcasm. And I like getting hit across the head when somebody is trying to tell me something. I have to hear that. To everyone else, it's different. But he's going to speak to you in what you, how you're going to understand best. When Jesus went out, when the disciples went out, they were all over the place. And each one of those areas are different. If they were in a farming community, what they talk and how they talk is going to have some kind of a farming connotation to it, because that's how the farmers understand, that's how they're going to respond. And same thing if they're in a more industrial type area, that's how they're going to do it. So I really believe the Holy Spirit, that's how he talks to us as well. He is going to kind of hit us. He's going to make sure that we understand. He isn't going to usually isn't going to use big words. When he starts using big words on me that I don't ever use, then I know I better sit up and listen, because that's what it is. So this past week, actually on, when was it? Friday, I believe. I heard him say to me, he said, basically, he said, I was just driving, I'm going to have fun today. I thought, oh, cool, that's just me. He said, no, I am, meaning he is going to have fun. That's kind of scary, because I'm starting to get all this stuff down, so what are you going to do? You're going to have fun messing my little card up of what you want to do. But it isn't. He wants to have fun with us. One of the things Justin said, I think it was Justin or Ian, but I think it was Justin. I don't want to serve a boring God, a dull God. I mean, I want to have fun. He's a fun guy. You could read it. There's parts in the Bible that they're kind of funny, you know, especially the disciples. Not going to go that way. Anyway, so I heard he's going to have fun today. And so I was, all right, well, we'll see what you do. When I was driving on Thursday, he said, I knew immediately that there was going to be words spoken to me that day. My Thursday days takes me down to Tillamook, Oregon. And driving those Highway 30, then to 101 is not real safe. But I knew that he wanted to say some words. So he said, get out a pad of paper. A pad of paper when I'm driving. So I got out my pad of paper, had it sitting on my armrest with a pen. And whenever he said something, I wrote it down. Now, when he said something, it might have been, it was really bad. You can't see it, but there wasn't any order to it. I just wrote, and just hopefully I could read what I wrote. But again, I was in that posture, ready to learn, ready for him to speak to me, make sure that I am where I needed to go. Back in December, Steve came up to the elders, and he was going to step down from doing financing. Which is good. We know Steve. We know what he's been going through. A lot of stuff. He was just buried. Him and Carmen just buried. Family stuff. Removed toes being removed. So it was time for Steve to take a rest. And he told us back in December, he said, on February 1st, I'm done doing finances. I'm going to take a sabbatical from that. So I'm done. You guys, the rest of us, have to have someone do finances. And so we're talking about how to do that, who's going to do that, what's going to happen with that. And one of the thoughts that we all had is, Patrick can do it. I've done it before in other organizations. I could do this. But it was, okay, Patrick can do it. So, but we said, let's pray. Make sure there's no one else. And this should be the truth. Make sure there's no one else that God has for that. That somebody, there might be somebody in a body that is a better thing to do. And so we spent some time praying over that. But my name never came up. I thought, well, this is really weird. So I guess to step out, and I went to Jeff on December 24th. I was getting kind of ticked because my name never came up or anything else. So I went to Jeff on December 24th, ran into him at Zojo's, Christmas Eve day. And so him and I were talking, and I said, why not me? And he said, there's no reason why not. You could do that. He's known, the elder's known. And so I thought, okay, well, this is good. But we need to pray about it, and I needed to pray about it. And I've been praying about other things as well. TriHop is, I've been on the board for TriHop for 3 years, 4 years, something like that. And I've been wanting to get off the board of TriHop. I've felt, I just felt stuff. It's like, I want to get off the board of TriHop, but I was not released in any way. But I wanted off so bad. And so Jeff said, you know, if you do the finances, you're going to have to eliminate some things. I thought, oh, there's my in right there. Cool. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have to resign from TriHop. This is awesome. It kills two birds with one stone. And so, but I knew I had to talk to Steve, you know, just kind of get my ducks in a row. After talking to Jeff, you know, I just kept thinking about it. Not really talking to him. And Jeff even said, you probably want to send an email out to the elders saying that you are, that you want to do this. But I never did. Something always seemed to come up that I didn't send out an email. Talked to Steve. They were more than confident that I could do this job. And I thought, this is great. Still never sent out an email. But I wasn't sleeping real well. So you guys probably see where this is going. I wasn't sleeping overtly well. And but I was still plodding forward because I could get off the board of TriHop. I was still going to do this. And on January 1st, I know the dates real well. On January 1st, I was still praying for someone in the body to step up. I was still praying for someone to take my place at on the board of TriHop, all this stuff. But I was going to plod through. But I was still uneasy. So on January 1st, my aunt came down, lived, and she was taking care of my mom in Carson, Oregon, Carson, Washington. Got on the freeway, and I thought, I got to figure out what's going on. And immediately, I said, Lord, we need to discuss this. And his words to me is, it's about time you came to me. I mean, it's like, holy smokes. At that point, I knew, oh, this is not going to be a fun drive. So we went over this stuff. And how I felt, and why I felt the way I felt. And one of the things he said is, have I told you to move yet? It's like, nope, you haven't told me to move yet. He reminded me, a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I was over at Northlake, this is when this thing about TriHop started coming up. He reminded me, be prepared to move, but don't move until I tell you to move. I had to listen to that voice. Until I tell you to move. So I said, fine, if you don't want me to do the finances, if you don't want me to get off the board, then you have to take this feeling of anxiety away. You have to. I have to sleep. And immediately it was gone. Immediately. Aligned with him, I knew, nope, don't do this. Don't go here. It's not your time. It's somebody else's time. It's not your time yet. Or it may never, ever be my time. That's fine. But it's not your time. So then he started talking to me about what I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight. Started downloading some stuff. Again, this is back in January. One of the things he really said, and it was really clear, and I thought it was me, and please don't be offended because this is in the Bible. He said, it's time for you to get off your ass. Holy smokes. I said, you've got to be kidding me. That's me. Because, yeah, that's me. He said, study it. Study it. I've known, we've all heard teachings when people get up here and they start talking. The Bible talks about an ass. It is a donkey. So I did what everyone else does, grabbed my nice little iPad, put in the word ass. Search. Nothing. It all came up as donkey. So I started looking through this thing, except King James. King James continues to use that term. Thought that was interesting. So he said, study it. So I started studying what the donkey was for, what it did. It took people from whenever the Lord said, do something, they got on a donkey, went to wherever the Lord said, they had to get off their ass to do what the Lord said to do. They had to do it. Okay? That is what we have to do. Okay? Because whenever they obeyed it and did that, things happened. All through. All through. And this has really played out. I was pretty quiet in the TriHop board meetings and such, and kind of playing my own little pity parties and such. And I spoke at one of the TriHop meetings, and I knew that it, I felt that it angered Mark some, because I spoke my mind. I spoke what I felt. And it changed. After a while, after 2 or 3 weeks, the atmosphere of Mark even changed, because it made his focus look somewhere else. It made things look different to Mark. And I don't know if that would have happened if I wouldn't have said anything. It would have been just the same. And it's when he says, do something, you have to get up and do it. You have to get off. So this is a lot of confirmation for me that I am aligned correctly with God, that I have been doing what he has been asking me to do, that we have to do this. It's just, it's a learning thing. It isn't learned. We have learned, we know our ABCs. We have learned them. That's a past tense. We've learned them. But as we're walking and growing in Christ, it's a learning thing. We are continuing to learn, okay? And it just keeps on going on and on and on. I have learned that when he says, take a pad of paper and have it on your armrest, when you're driving, you're going to write notes down, I better do that. Because it's going to be important to him. I have learned that when he says, jump, I don't say, why? That's stupid. I say, how high? It is learning. Do I fail? Every day. But it's getting easier and easier. The more that we step out, the more, I think any of us can say this, the more that we step out and doing whatever we want to do, the easier it gets. It's just that way. So what I really wanted to kind of talk on is his will of what he wants us to do. And with his will, there's a timing that comes into play. There's a real strong timing that comes into play. It isn't for us to understand something yet in a lot of cases. And it, when things happen, when he asks you to do something, a lot of us have said, I don't understand. That's okay. We're still supposed to listen and wait for his time. In Daniel, it says, that's when Michael, the great angel prince, champion of your people, will step in. It'll be a time of trouble, the worst trouble in the world has ever seen. But your people will be saved from the trouble. Every last one written in the book. Many who have been long dead and buried will wake up, some to eternal life, others to eternal shame. Men and women who have lived wisely and well will shine bright, brilliantly, like the cloudless, star-strewn night skies. And those who put on the right path to life will glow like stars forever. This is a confident report, Daniel, for your eyes and ears only. Keep it secret. Put the book under lock and key until the end. In the interim, there's going to be a lot of frantic running around, trying to figure out what's going on. Verse 5 and 6, as I, Daniel, took all this in, two figures appeared, one standing on the bank of the river, the one on the other bank. One of them asked the third man, who was dressed in linen, who straddled the river, how long is this astonishing story to go on? The man dressed in linen, straddled the river, raised both hands to the sky. I heard he solemnly swear by the Eternal One that it would be a time, two times and half a time, that when the oppressor of the holy people was brought down, the story would be complete. I heard all this plainly enough, but I didn't understand it. So I asked the master, can you explain this to me? Verse 9 and 10, go on about your business, Daniel, he said. The message is confidential and under lock and key until the end, until things are about to be wrapped up. He didn't understand. Now we have the goodness that we can look back and we can probably understand a lot of what was going on. But Daniel had no clue. Daniel wasn't a stupid man. But he said, master, I don't understand. Said, yeah, you're right, you don't, but you will. So just keep going about what you're doing. Don't worry about it. You will understand. It's okay for us not to understand things. There's I looked at Diane, and Diane, she's an amazing woman. And where she, the things that she does, she is a traveler. She can spend time with God and see Him face to face. It is so cool to see. I don't understand that. That's a place where I can look at Diane and be jealous of her. And that's not a right place to be. But I don't understand it. But it's not my time yet to understand. I will. I have no doubt that she does it, so there's no question of you know, her being false. But I don't understand it yet. Here's another one. Master, this is an Acts. Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? He told him, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's going to tell us. It is so cool. Another one, John 13. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, Master, you wash my feet. Jesus answered, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later. We know what was going to happen. I mean, because we've read, I mean, this happened many years ago. But he didn't understand, but he will later. And he did, didn't he? He was already under Satan's. He already knew what he was going to do. He knew it. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But Jesus still loved him. I'm still going to wash your feet. You don't understand this, but you will. We have to remember that he is in charge. Jesus is in charge, and he is going to let us understand at the right time what he wants us to understand. We're all on this little journey together. It doesn't matter if you're from another body or anything. We're all on this journey together. When he wants us to move forward, when he wants us to understand, then he's going to provide that to you. The Holy Spirit is going to do that. Generally speaking, this is a generalization. I got a little note, sorry. One of the things that the Lord told me this morning is take a pad up here because he's going to have fun. And there's some people that we're going to pray for later. So if I go to here, I'm just making the Lord saying something weird. So anyway, that's going to be fun. When we were younger, if you think back, when we first became a Christian, or when you first became a Christian. This is really true for me, and he really revealed this of my past, of me remembering. When I became a Christian, it was really fun. It was great. But if he would have revealed what it was like to actually be a Christian, to give my life to him, I think I would have ran. Because it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But it isn't the easy thing. This is why we don't sit back and say, oh, just become a Christian, accept him, and your life is going to be great. That's wrong. It just is so far away. Yes, become a Christian, because you're one, you're going to have eternal life, and you have hope, and you have this Lord that just loves you. But I would have ran. And as we became a Christian, or as I became a Christian, everything was great. Because I didn't know squat about it. Squat became a pretty good friend for me in high school because of what we went through. I could do anything I wanted. I was a good kid. My mom and dad loved me. They let me do whatever I wanted. They knew, they trusted me. Squat and I went out with dates, and we did it. It was wonderful. As long as I didn't cross into the big bad sins, then things weren't very fun at all. But I would go to Bible studies. I would lead Bible studies. But they weren't in depth. They were squat. And that is what he wants. That's what he wanted me. is at that point. We could do whatever we wanted. Didn't have any Christian lingo, because of course that wasn't revealed to me, any of this stuff. And that's how he wanted us. Most of you, when you first become a Christian, you also had a friend named Squat at some point in time. Because of that, he doesn't want you to know. At some point in time in your life, for me it was probably my senior year in high school, somebody else shows up, and we've already read about the Holy Spirit decides to show up. And a lot of us in real powerful ways. And now it's time. Now it's time to leave that friend. And are you going to really come to me, Patrick? Are you going to give it up to me? I mean, you still don't know, but all of a sudden things start become revealed to you. It's time. That time is different for everybody. It could happen when you're, you know, 30 years old, when you're 14 years old. It doesn't matter, but there is a timing. When the Holy Spirit says, okay, it's enough. It's time to get rid of Squat, and it's time to come to me. It's time to start coming further into me. It's time to grow up. God intervene. John 14 says, Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've seen him. Philip said, Master, show us the Father. Then we'll be content. You've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand. To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? But along comes the Holy Spirit. A little further down in John, it says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend. This is out of the message. So that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been saying with you, staying with you, and will even be in you. The Holy Spirit is now introduced. For me, he was introduced. That, and I look back, that is when acceleration in my growth with the Lord came about. Things started happening quickly. Knowledge started happening quickly. Understanding started happening quickly. Still didn't understand everything, and of course I don't. That's when I started learning about, oh, there's a king? Oh, I've heard it time and time and time and time again at the Methodist church that I went to. Methodist church talking about the king and kingdom, but I heard it time and time and time again. But I had no understanding what it meant. I had no understanding what rule and reign meant. I had zero. Still have a hard time with it. But over the last year, it's becoming more and more revealed. So a lot of things happening, acceleration. When these things even today start going on, then I know I have to be prepared for an acceleration. Lord is going to start moving and wanting me to go somewhere and wanting me to do something. There's going to be a new season coming. If you look back, you could probably start pinpointing some of those things too. For me, he had to build that foundation. Those 4 years of spending time with Squat was a foundational building. Even though I didn't understand it, it was being put into me. It was good seed that was being thrown at me. Then, once the Holy Spirit came on and I went that way, went straight to it, I had a foundation to lean on, to remember what was said years and years ago. The hunger came on, the hunger for the Word, the hunger for more of what he has to do, knowledge. My son is really great. He could read the Bible, he could read a passage, and he could pull it out and know it, he might have done it 3 years ago. There are pastors in his church that know this Bible plus four other versions exactly where things are at. I don't have that knowledge. I struggle with that. I have to find it, but I want it, and so I have to continue going after it. The king thing was a big one, is understanding the king. I'm going to take a little liberty of this one verse because it speaks to me, and it spoke to me a lot. Because I wasn't understanding what was happening. And so the scripture is Ecclesia 1:18. For with great wisdom comes great frustration. Who increases his knowledge merely increases his heartache. That's when things started happening for me, the heartache. But I knew now that I was aligned with what he was doing because there was heartache. Heartache came because I was gaining more and more knowledge. Not saying that there's a devil behind every bush. I'm not saying that at all. But I know that, okay, stuff is going to happen. Crap is going to happen, sorry. But it's going to happen. The more I dig into him, the target gets bigger. We've said it time and time again. Our targets start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I remembered having all that fun with squat. I remembered that. But the reason why is I was absolutely no value to Satan at that time. Zero. Because I wasn't understanding anything. We're called to go out and be disciples of the nations. We're called to go out and do this. Satan does not want us to do that. He does not want us to know what is happening, who God is, why he's a king. He doesn't want us to know that. So at the beginning for me, zero. He was happy that I was hanging out with not knowing nothing. He was happy. But once I started accelerating, things started happening. He started knowing what my buttons to push were. All of our buttons are different. He knew that my buttons was finances and medical. Whenever he hit those little buttons, and some, again, not saying it was every single time was Satan, but I can look back and say, I was frustrated and this really hurt. Some of it was a correction. But we won't know the difference between those two until we have that knowledge, until we're aligned with him and what he's doing. Because I think there's so many times that we can blame him, Satan, for something that's happening bad in our life, when it's actually the Lord saying, no, let's come over here a little bit more. I have something for you. You know, I mean, I have this ready for you. That's when we started becoming, That's when we started becoming more of a threat. And he continued on and on. So that's one reason we have to really listen to that. The gaining in the knowledge and understanding is different for all of us. We're all in different places. Every single one of us learn differently. And we have to realize that. We have to honor that. Going back to Diane, she has been a Christian a long time. And we have to honor what she has learned, what the Lord is giving her, the knowledge that she has. Same thing with Tracy, with Lisa, with Tammy, with on and on and on. Because we're all in different places, but we're all moving together as a group. If we start looking at other people, that's when we're going to really get disheartened. The unity is going to kind of fall apart. But we have to understand where they are at and where we are at. Lord is saying just keep learning, because in time it's going to be revealed to him. We learn in different ways. And we have to understand some of those different ways. CJ, my son, learns by experience. Lord has had him on a short leash. He goes and does something really stupid and bonehead. That's how he's going to learn. But the Lord really keeps him on track. And he's doing really, really well. Some of us are real linear. A plus B plus C plus D. You start in Genesis, you end in Revelation. You don't go in the middle unless somebody is teaching. You are very routine. And this is how you're going to learn. And that's okay. Then some of us are very random. A to Z to R to S to H to A. Genesis is the first book, but I'll start in Habakkuk. I don't know. It's just so weird, okay? And you're so unstructured. You're so random. Those two people really get under each other's skin a lot. I'm fortunate where I actually can float through both most of the time. I can kind of float through both. But we have to understand why and how you're learning this way. Because some of us are learning the opposite way. We'll catch up or have to be brought back. I already mentioned CJ's style was by experience. Katie's style is a little different. And growing up with these two kids, even though Katie is delayed, she has a personality, and it shows. So CJ's random, all over the board, still is, still will be, on and on and on. Katie is routine. That's how she learns. She learns very well with routine. When she was at school down at School for the Blind, it was routine. They knew Katie has to do this in the morning, this. And what we called it when something was pulled out of that, her apple cart was upset. And once that happened, all hell broke loose because she didn't understand. She had no clue. We would get horrible fights and arguments with her and CJ when we had something planned. CJ's just ran there. But once we started doing what CJ wanted to do and Katie didn't like it and that wasn't in her routine, oh, it was not good. We're the same way. If we're expecting things to happen and they don't happen, a lot of us, it just throws us. It isn't very fun. But we have to learn that we learn in different ways. And the people that we're with are learning in a different way as well. One of the things going back to the financing thing and such is it was not my time. Who knows if it will be, but it was Kurt's time. We approached Kurt and said, Kurt, you want to do this? He is a busy man, extremely busy. So we thought it was a snowball's chance and you know where that Kurt would even step up. But he heard from the Lord because it's his time to step up into that position. If I would have kept plodding through it, I would have taken his time away completely. And he has something for Kurt. He has something for me. He has something for this body for staying aligned with that. He really does. I believe just from what we're seeing that we are in the midst of acceleration. Evangel is in the midst of acceleration. This city is in the midst of acceleration. Look what we're learning. We started a few years ago in Revelation, being prepared. We're in now I just forgot. What are we in now? No, what are your series, your teaching series? Understanding the times. I mean, we're moving that direction. We need to understand what we're looking at. Look back a few years. We have to be prepared. We have to know that voice. We have to know that we don't understand. We don't understand fully why we went to the mornings. It's starting to be revealed to us, and it was Jeff had visions, we all had visions, so we're starting to see that. But he's going to show us in his timing. He really is. I wanted to go on, and the timing is, I need to stop. The Lord said stop. So the kingdom stuff will be at another time. But there's a couple things. Rick and Lisa, I don't know your son. I think I met him years and years and years ago. But the Lord, next time you talk to him, see him, email him, and knowing you two as the parents, he needs to know that he is forgiven. I felt earlier on that there might have been something spoken into him that he has a doubt about that. But with you guys and where he's at, he needs to really know that he is forgiven. The other thing I heard, and I don't hear this because I don't understand it completely, is that he has a mantle of honor on him. So I don't know if something is coming up. I have no idea, but he has a mantle. So when he comes home, He needs to walk in that because the Lord has something for him. So I don't know Ben's very at all. So he has that. So next time you see him, you might want to pass it on. Kevin, you and Nina, and we haven't even talked much about this. This is for me being aligned with the Lord. He's doing this more. You guys have seen me up here more. So from Thursday on, and there's a few up here. For Kevin and Nina, I know they've had dreams of their life, of what they want to do. Kevin, I think you might have put some of those dreams on the back shelf. Not all the way in back, but you put them on the back shelf. You and Nina need to start bringing those dreams back and start walking in those dreams. Start moving forward in those dreams because they are from him. And so you need to do that. Did Jessica leave? Well, I know we already prayed for her, so that's really cool. I heard a little bit ago was, are you ready? I don't know if that's for me or somebody else. Is there somebody that has a warm hand and had one all night long or all morning long? You've had a warm hand, really warm, like it isn't warm very often? That's cool. I think you need to pray for somebody. I don't know who, but we're going to find out. I'm a middle-aged, overweight guy that does not get a whole lot of aches and pains. I'm real fortunate that way. So instead of being old, I'm in pretty good health, besides being old and overweight. But I've had this little pain in my right knee since this morning. Is there somebody... And this might be for tonight. Both of the legs. Cool. That's really cool. Now, that isn't really cool, so we'll make sure you get that taken care of. But is there someone here this morning that has a achy right leg? No? Might be for tonight. Connie has it. You need to go pray for Connie. Because I saw both those together. You have a hot hand. A lot of times, yeah, look here. A lot of times, that's healing. Okay? Yeah, Jody. And Kim has a hot hand. About time you said something. So, really? Sorry. Why don't you two go back to Connie? You guys need to pray for her knee. Okay? And it isn't real big. It isn't just big, elaborate prayer. Kim knows. Kim can kind of help you as well. Will you guys do that? Go and pray for Connie's knee. This stuff is all about being aligned with him. Being aligned and knowing that it's okay not to understand why this dude up front gets these weird words and sends people over to pray for him. If you don't understand, that's okay. Take it to the Lord. I don't understand this. Why is he doing this? Because when he started doing this to me, I took it to him. Lord, I don't understand this. Why are you doing this to me? And the word was, it's not about you. That's pretty plain and clear. And so I think this is a lot of what's going to happen tonight as well. And so I don't think it's weird that I was scheduled to teach today, and then Jeff put on last week a face-to-face, and then that sign showed up last week. That sign was going to be down here tonight. Free miracles, free healings. Because he likes doing that. And he likes us being aligned with him, listening to him, and having the timing to go and do what you need to do. So, Lord, I thank you for this evening. What a great time that we had. Lord, I just pray for Connie's knee, Lord, that the warmth just goes through. I pray for this evening, Lord, that what you have for us is from you. That you speak to us. You speak loud. Lord, that you come into this room.